Are you doing well? All right. I know we've all had struggles and trials in the past week, and I just pray that we can realize God is refining in us a character that pleases Him. We just need to go with Him no matter what the struggle and trial is, and we need to just make sure that we keep our eyes on Him. He is the author and the finisher, or some versions will say perfecter, of our faith. And so He is where it's at. So we just ask Jesus to lead and guide us. We'll try to stay in there with Him. And our youth Sunday school, we've been dealing with the life of Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis. And man, what an amazing picture of going through adversity and watching for the bigger picture, keeping a good attitude. And he was a picture of Jesus as well. So we are blessed to be here in the house of the Lord. We have a lot of stuff planned. As far as opportunities to plug in, to serve, we have VBS, Vacation Bible School, coming up the 26th to the 30th, and so I want to invite everybody to be a part of that. If you have children, bring them. If you have grandchildren that are going to be in town or hanging out, they can hang out with you that week. It'd be a great time to have them come. If you have neighbors, please invite them. I know some of you have already been doing that. I've been getting some reports back of different people that sound interested in coming. We also have been going out on Saturdays and handing out flyers, talking to people in the neighborhoods, trying to go to different roads around here and do the entire road, kind of like a canvassing effort, not just for Vacation Bible School, but also, you know, to just talk to people about the Lord and to ask people if they have a home church and things of that nature. If you can do this, you can do that, because we've got these little flyers that are made up. You don't even hardly have to say a word. You can just say, hey, I'm from Cadet Baptist Church, and here. And you can run for the car. You're not, because I know it's how it feels sometimes, but it's still good. Yesterday, me and Brother Bill went out, and I think we visited, we had 21 contacts just between in our little team, and it took us maybe a couple, 3 hours total. You don't have to go for that long, or you can go for longer. That's up to you. Doesn't have to be on Saturday. You can do it on a day through the week. Whatever works for you. If you need some flyers, let me know. We'll get you some. But this is how we meet our neighbors, and a lot of people. You know, it's funny because we drive past that sign all the time, you know, and we think, well, everybody has to know there's church up here, right? Well, you can't see it from the road, number one. And number two, have you ever driven past signs you never really read? It was so funny because we got some little guys and gals that live up the road here, and I mean grade school age kids or whatever, and we were standing by the sign the other day. I was down there whenever they got off the bus, and the sign is right there, and it has the dates for Vacation Bible School. And it's just this is human nature. And they looked at me and they said, hey, preacher, you guys having VBS pretty soon? When's that going to be? We really want to know the dates. They stand and wait by that sign every day to go to summer school and get off the bus. So it just shows we need to make connection with people, right? And as soon as we began to say it, as soon as I said the dates, the one turned around and looked and go, oh, well, there it is right there. It's been there for 3 weeks. So it's just one of those things that I think to make connection with a neighbor. We may assume that they already know all these things and that they already know about Jesus. That's a wrong assumption to make. We really need to just vocalize our relationship with the Lord and what God's done for us. And sometimes it will go much deeper. They'll ask about different scriptures and things of that nature. And if you're not prepared to give the answers, it's fine. If you get the conversation started, many times we can have others come around. You can have them call or whatever to help give further answers. And if there's something we just don't know, we don't fake it. We just say, you know, I don't know on that one, but I will get back with you. And I'll try to find an answer. So if we can do that, we can meet our neighbors. As far as dates to remember, well, first, let's deal with this evening. This evening, we're going to have a men's and ladies' Bible studies downstairs. Our men's group, name of it is called Brothers Keepers. We are meeting together, desiring to lift up our brothers that maybe are not involved or are struggling or just each other in prayer, and then we do Bible study together. We are in the book of 1 Timothy right now. There's no better book to learn about mentoring and about discipleship than the way Paul discipled Timothy, and so we're really... really, just a blessed time. We meet at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and then we'll have our 6 o'clock service, and we're going through the book of Revelation, so come be a part of that. And also, one more announcement I want to touch on. The rest of it I'll just kind of leave up to you. Make sure that you've got a bulletin, but on the bulletins, there'll be all the different dates on the front and back, and some other information that you'll like to have. My phone number's in there if you ever need to get a hold of me. But the one more date that I want to talk about is this coming Friday and Saturday is the men's retreat at Bates Creek Camp. If you still want to go, you can still sign up. It's $40 per attendee, and I think it's just going to be an awesome time. You can stay overnight. If there's some reason you need to go home for whatever reason to sleep at home, that's cool too. You can just come back the next day. But the $40 includes a bed and all the food for both Friday evening, Saturday morning, and Saturday afternoon. And then after the afternoon session, sometime in, I forget the exact finish time, it's like 4 o'clock or something like that. We'll be heading home after that. So anyway, if you're wondering what it looks like, basically we'll have at least two main worship sessions. They were a little undecided last time I talked to them, maybe three. We will have some activities and fellowship, and the pool is open as well for those who like to swim. That's going to be one of the activity opportunities. And then we're going to have kind of like a service project. I think they're planning on painting the outside of one of the cabins or something like that you can plug into as well. So none of those things are absolutely mandatory, but, you know, if we're hanging out together, we'll probably do some of that stuff, and there'll be plenty of conversation and building up while we're there in the Word of God. So please come, be a part of it. It'll be a great time. And Brother Bill and I and Brother Harold are not going to be here on Saturday, so we're going to need some other folks to come and get some of those flyers and take them out to the community, because we're just a couple weeks from Vacation Bible School. If you want to hand out some of those, come. I know we've got several other guys are going too. If you're going to the men's retreat, raise your hand. All right. Praise the Lord. So we've got a pretty good sized group. That's awesome. All right, let me have a word of prayer for us, and then we're going to do the children's message. Let's all bow. Dear Father, I just want to thank you for the congregation that's here. And Lord, I believe you're the one that leads us in these different opportunities to do service in our community. And so, Lord, we are looking forward to Vacation Bible School, and we can't wait to see what you're going to do during that time. And we're looking forward to this men's retreat to build up our guys, Lord, and help us to be godly men, ones that are able to lead and teach, to lead our families, first of all, just to be encouraged in this. And so, Lord, please just bless us during this time, and I pray that you would pour out your Spirit on us, even this morning as we meet here together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, did the box make it for the children's message? All right. All right, come on up, guys. All right, let's clear out a little path here in front of me, because Dakota's going to bring the box up, and he's going to set it right here so we can see what's in it. The rest of you guys can kind of have a seat, okay? Let's see what's in here. Okay, Joe, sit down right here. All right, how you guys doing? What'd you put in here? Are you going to tell me first? Do I need to be careful in how I open the box? Is it fragile? Okay, well, I'll try not to drop it then. Does it breathe? Okay, it doesn't go... Psst. Okay, all right, that's good. All right, well, let's see what's in here. Oh, boy. Woo, what do we got here? Can anybody tell me what this is?
It's a helicopter.
Mm-hmm. What's it made out of?
Legos,
that's pretty cool. That's why it's called a Lego helicopter. Good job. All right. And so what kind of helicopter is it? Can anybody tell me? How do you know?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Huh? Because it says police on it. It has handcuffs on the side, doesn't it? Don't pull them off. We're going to leave those on there for Dakota, okay? It has some other stuff that policemen would use, too. Uh-huh. All right. So what do you guys, that is really a cool tool that a policeman would use, right? And so the police force has this, and I'll tell you one thing, it's kind of hard to run and escape from a helicopter, right? Helicopters can go just about anywhere, and so they're very useful for a police officer. Thank you for bringing that. Is that your favorite toy? That's pretty cool. You have a bigger one? All right, you guys could notice that was a police helicopter by what it said on the side, and you recognize that. Okay, so... Policemen are special people of authority. They have authority, okay? Do you guys understand what that word authority means?
Mm-hmm.
Like in church? There's some people that have authority.
Power.
In charge. Okay, yeah, they are in charge. What makes them in charge? Can I go up? Hi, Allie, how you doing? Can I go up to somebody and I just don't like what they're doing and say, hey, you need to stop doing that, and if you don't, I'm going to put you in jail? Can I do that?
No.
No? How come? And maybe I really just don't like what they're doing. I mean, isn't that kind of my business, right? I should be able to tell them what to do, don't you think? No? Why not? Because I don't have that authority. I'm not the policeman, okay? And so just like we could read the little tag on the side, what other kind of thing? There's something else here that shows that it's a policeman. Okay, we got lights, and there's also something else right there. What is that? The little gold thing. It's a badge. That's exactly right. And do you know, whenever a policeman pulls you over and you're going too fast, did any of the parents out there ever have that problem? You're going a little too fast? Now you can't lie in church. Okay. All right. So like you get pulled over and he says, you're going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. What gives him the authority to do that? It's that badge that's on his uniform. Listen up, guys. I want you guys to pay attention over here. All right? And so just like that authority is given to him by somebody higher than him. Okay? So that authority is given by the state and by the governor and even by the president of the United States is to some degree. That authority keeps going up. Okay? And so when that guy puts on that badge, when he speaks, he's actually speaking on behalf of someone greater than him. Okay? Guys, did you know that as Christians, if we are a Christian and we love Jesus and we call on Jesus, did you know he gives us his authority? Did you know that there is nobody greater or more powerful in all the universe than Jesus? Isn't that awesome? And so whenever we pray about a problem or something like that through a relationship in Jesus, we are able to access the authority and the blessing of God in that way, and there's none higher than him. Isn't that awesome? But the number one goal, the number one thing here that gives us that badge to be able to pray in that way is that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. And I want you guys to make sure that you are submitted to Jesus, that you want him to be your Lord, okay? And how that starts is by saying that you realize it, and you know you're a sinner, but you don't want to be like that anymore. And you ask him to forgive you, and I know some of you guys have already done that. And then you start to follow Jesus from that point on. Do you guys believe that Jesus is in heaven right now? Do you believe that he is the one who takes our prayers right to the Father, it says in the Bible? All right, then let's go to him and pray right now. And I want to pray for each one of you guys, okay? Can I do that? All right, let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that each one of these children would have the authority of Christ in them, Lord, that they would be blessed, that they would have just truly, fully commit their hearts and their way to you, Lord. Their will. We have a will, and our will makes us do what we do, and I pray that we would let you have that will, and we would do what you want us to do. Bless these children today, and I pray that you would keep them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, good job. You know what else the greatest thing about knowing Jesus is? Whenever we die and we pass on, we will be in heaven with him forever. Amen? Give everybody a high five for that. Give your neighbor a high five. All right, because God is alive. All right. So, who gets the box? I'm afraid I'm going to get smacked up here. Emily. Is that right? Do we have any other D's? Anybody else with a D here? No? Okay, then we go to E next, right? Emily? Emily, want the box? All right. All right, be careful with it. Good job, guys. You guys can go have a seat with your families. All right. So, does anybody have a praise report they want to share this morning? Something that you want to thank God for and let other people know about? Praise God, yeah, amen. Praise God for everybody who made it here this morning. It's awesome. Any others? Yes, sir. Amen, that's awesome. That is good news. That is awesome. Yeah. It is. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's stop and pray for him right now. I think that'd be the right thing to do. Dear Lord, we pray for Jeremy. We thank you for his openness, Lord, in sharing this great praise with everybody. And Lord, I do pray that you would continue to strengthen him and that you would just give him something that is so much better than this addiction that he has given up. Lord, give him something so much better, your pleasure on him, Lord. And that he just would never want to go back. Lord, bless him. And thank you, Lord, for delivering him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. That's exciting. All right. Owen, did you have one you want to share? No? Okay. He was doing this. It's that auction thing. You bought it. Anybody else? You got one? Life? That's a good one. All right. Anybody else out there that I missed? I love praise reports. You know, we spend a lot of time asking God for stuff. We need to spend a lot of time thanking him for stuff. Amen. We've all got something to thank God for. And so we just want to praise the Lord. And I know that we've got others out here that are dealing with different issues, different struggles and everything. Be encouraged. God is greater than any of your struggles. God is greater than any trial that we might be in. He is greater. Keep praying. So today, we're going to be back in our study about the church. Last week, we had a little study, and we talked about the church, and really, what is it, or we found out who is it, actually. And so can anybody remember the different things we found out the church really is? They all started with a B. Anybody that was here want to word them out? Even just one of them? The bunch, yeah. We're the assembly, and we decided that's like we're all together in this thing. We're like a bunch, right? Do you remember another one? I see them back there in the sound booth. Yeah. Beneficiaries. We actually have the benefit of inheriting what God has for us, including all the promises that are in the scriptures. That's a good thing, right? I think they're looking at stuff back there. It's all right. They're helping me out. What else was back there since you guys are looking at the list? Roger's got one. The bunch. He got it. All right. And the branches, right? What else? The body. The body of Christ. Very good. Yeah. Even some that weren't looking at the list were able to get that. Good job. You know what? There's one more that starts with a B that's probably almost like the most amazing one, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about today. I felt like it just kind of deserved its own time. And that is that we are the bride of Christ. And for guys, this seems a little weird for us. Let's just get out of our gender thinking for a minute, okay? But what we need to understand is that Jesus is the bridegroom. The church, this is the church that Jesus died for, okay? So the church is the bunch, the body, the branches, the beneficiaries, and we are the bride. And this is an important one because I'm just going to ask you, okay, we've got someone that's preparing to be a bride in our church right now. And so we're going to be seeing an invitation to their wedding pretty soon. Crystal and Silver are getting ready to get married in September, and they're really excited about it. So my question is, do you think that Crystal's just kind of sitting back, forgotten about this whole deal about being a bride? She hasn't thought about it. She hasn't been preparing for it. She hasn't given it a second thought. And then all of a sudden this thing's just going to come down in September, and she's going to be all surprised? So do you think that's how it's going down? I kind of doubt it too. Exactly. I think everything in the Williams family household is about this particular date right now. So what is the date again? See, she didn't even forget. Right off, right now, September the 9th. She knows the exact moment, okay? And by the way, we're wanting everybody here at the church to be able to be blessed by this. So mark that date on your calendar because it's an important date. Think about being the bride to the most important, glorious being in the universe. Do you think we should give that some thought and some time? Really kind of prepare for being in His presence, for Him coming to receive us? See, the cool thing that we're going to learn about this is by being the bride of Christ, we find that this means certain particular things in our lives. So let's look at those right now. First of all, the bride has to accept the proposal from our bridegroom. Okay? And I think that's a lot of what was happening in the Lord's Supper there, the Last Supper that Jesus had with His disciples. And so this is the way that in their culture, in the Eastern culture, that they would propose marriage to somebody. Okay? The bridegroom, like with silver and crystal, and I don't know exactly how it went down, but there came a point in time whenever silver would say, "Hey, I got a good idea. You know, let's get married," or something like that. Maybe he went and talked to Dave first. I don't know how it all went down. You know, it's different for all of us around here. But they had a lot of symbolism in their culture that they really follow. Okay? And in their culture, what the bridegroom would do, the future bridegroom, is he would take and he would pour out this cup and he would offer it. And if the woman would take that cup from him and she would drink from that cup, she was saying yes. She would hand it back to him and then he would do the same. And so in so doing, they were agreeing to this future marriage. And I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that would happen in between that. We're going to kind of talk about that too. But let's just look at his proposal. And this is his proposal to us as well, to each one of you. We celebrate it when we do the Lord's Supper here in this church. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin, for the forgiveness of sin, to totally wipe it away. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You see, Jesus has gone back to heaven for a time, right? And he knows, you know, there's a set time that he is going to come back. He's going to get his bride. And whenever he receives his bride back to himself, then we're going to continue in this proposal that he has given to us. So my question is, have you received that cup? Have you said yes in this matter? What saying yes looks like is surrendering your heart, your will, your life, and your sin. And yeah, that means laying it all on the altar there and saying, "I give it up to you, Jesus. Please help me to go from this day forward with you. You as the most important one in my life." You see, because like in that whole marriage covenant, see, this is a covenant, right? He actually uses the word covenant. A blood covenant is something that cannot be broken. So whenever you agree to follow Jesus, you're agreeing to Him being your bridegroom, and you're agreeing that there's going to be no one more important than Him in your life. And so that's the church. That is a picture of the church right there. The ones that have received that proposal and said, yes. Let's pray about this before we move on to the next point. Dear Father, I pray that everybody in this church building right now has said yes to your proposal to them. This proposal is one that has great future promises for every one of us and great immediate promises for us as well. There are benefits that are beyond belief in being a Christian because of the peace of mind and the peace of heart that you give us, even though we will have struggles. We will have trials. We will have tribulation in this life. But you told your bride as they walked with you, even in the time you were on the earth, that though there were trials in this world, that we should take heart, for you have overcome the world. And so, Lord, that's our bridegroom. He's the one who's in full control. So I pray that everyone in this church building has said yes to you. If not before this moment, then even at this moment, they would agree to be yours. Exclusively yours. No other gods before you. You're it. There's no other way except through you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we keep that thought in mind, the bride is the one who accepts his proposal. We also want to remember that after this proposal and after a bridegroom would ask, and the bride would say yes, then there's something that bridegroom would start doing. It would be a process in their culture that would take at least a year after that point. And this is what Jesus is doing for us right now. The bridegroom is preparing a place for his bride. So for in their culture, for the most part, this is kind of the way it went down, for the next year, his entire life would be about preparing a good place for him to bring that bride home to and preparing a good life so that he could take care of her with the greatest that he had to offer. And, nowadays we usually put a little distance between us whenever this happens, but back in this day, they would actually be adding on to the family house. He'd go back to his parents' house, and it would become, that's how you wound up with towns and cities. And he'd go back to his parents' house, and he would say, "Hey, Dad, you know, this lady that you encouraged me to meet," or whatever, how it would go down, "you know, she said yes." And so now the family would be involved in getting together and preparing this place for this bride. Because guess what? For that dad and for that mom of this bridegroom, this is going to be the mother of his grandchildren. This is going to be so important to them that they would all get in on it. So it became like a family affair. Guess what, guys? In God's kingdom, it's like this too. You see, he saves us so that we'll go out and we'll have future offspring as well. And do you know what? Right now, listen to what Jesus says here. In John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Say praise the Lord to that one. Because, guys, where is Jesus right now, the Bible tells us? He is at the right hand of the Father. He is in heaven right now. And do you know he is preparing a perfect place for every one of us who believe in him and follow him in faith? I think this is exciting because our bridegroom is doing what every perfect bridegroom would do. He is preparing a place for his bride. And man, it's going to be perfect. I can't wait to see it. How about you? How about all your loved ones? Do you want them to see it too? How about that neighbor across the street that's really been good to you, but you know they just don't really understand it. They don't get it yet. You want them to see it too? Absolutely. Guys, this is where we're at. This is why we live. This is why we breathe. This is why God has saved us. This is why he gives us life, because he's preparing a place for his bride, and we want everyone to be there. Amen? So this bride accepts the proposal. The bridegroom is preparing a place for his bride. And now, throughout this time, the bride is being continually being washed by the bridegroom. If we look at Ephesians chapter 5, we kind of get some sense of this. It's speaking of the marriage relationship even with human beings, but it's using the marriage relationship between Christ and his bride to explain what this is supposed to look like. Okay? So listen to this, all of us as husbands out here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. We're supposed to be giving ourselves for our wives, husbands. Amen? That was weak. We're supposed to be giving ourselves for our wives. Amen? Okay, all right. Maybe we need to do it a third time. I don't know. No, the idea, guys, is this is our place. This is where we're at, okay? Christ went before us to show us what this looks like. This is what Christ is doing for us. He has given himself for us. How did he give himself for us? Literally offering his life. That he might sanctify, that means set apart, okay, and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Man, That's what Jesus is doing for us, and we need to allow Him to do that in us daily. Our bridegroom went back home, and he's at the Father's house, and he's preparing mansions for us. And while he's away, we need to be preparing ourselves for him as we allow him to cleanse us through that washing of the water of the Word. Are you in your Bible daily? Pray you are. Are you in your Bible daily? You need to be. We need to be. Because, guys, this is how we get cleansed. This is how God cleanses us. You know, it's just like we're talking about with sins that get a hook in us and get a hold on us. Guys, where's the power to get through that? Where's the power to demolish those strongholds? It's right there in God's Word as the Spirit works in us. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but whenever I read God's Word, it convicts me. You ever get convicted, you know, and go, oh my, man, I'm falling way short in this one. You think God just does that just to be mean to us? Take away our fun? No. He does it to protect us, and He wants to. That's an ongoing relationship. Okay? And so He wants us to be cleansed. He is preparing a place for His bride, and He's preparing a bride for that place. And so we just need to stay in this whole process with Him. How many of you made mistakes this past week? Yeah? Okay? Praise God, there's still grace when we go back to that throne. But you see, we wouldn't even know we made a mistake unless we read it and realized it in God's Word. You ever have that guilty feeling and kind of talk yourself out of it before? We probably do that daily too, don't we? God's Word doesn't change. We need God's Word in our life, and that's the bridegroom who's doing that in us. So he's preparing the place for his bride. The bride is continually being washed and prepared for the bridegroom. And the bride desires to be holy for the bridegroom. See, this is another part of that. The very next verse in Ephesians chapter 5 is verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. You see, his bride is all of us together. Okay, and he wants us to be glorious in the way that we serve him, love him, and are set apart for him, made holy. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I know, guys, when we look in the mirror, we can say, man, I'm still so far from it. But what I pray is that we will continually be growing in him each and every day. Okay? We're not sinless yet, but we should sin less. Each and every day should bring us closer to him. That should be our desire, to continually be washed, to continually be sanctified, desiring to be holy for our bridegroom. I can assure you that whenever Crystal thinks about their wedding day, she's thinking about being the very best that she can be on that day. Amen? And I pray that they will be seeing even past that and thinking about being the best that they can be for the years to come as well. Because we all know, those of us that have been married more than a couple days, that marriage is a process, right? And it's bigger than just one day. Nonetheless, we've got a bridegroom who's preparing a place for his bride. He's continually washing us so that we can desire to be holy for him. If you look, there was another scripture that I didn't put on the projector, but this comes from James chapter 1. If you want to thumb across there real quick, or if you just want to listen, it's just a quick little verse. Chapter 1, starting at verse 23. Well, let's just jump up to verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks at the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Listen to this verse. This is kind of the one that brings it all together. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This needs to be the desire of everyone who's part of the bride of Christ, is that we set ourselves apart to serve Him, to do what He does. What does Jesus do? What does our bridegroom do? He goes in. He showed us during the 3 years that He did His ministry on earth, His entire 33 years of life, He was about helping others. He was about considering their needs. He not just their wants, but like He knew where they were. And He was there for their pain. He was there to point them in the right direction. And He was there, but He kept Himself unspotted from the world. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, everything that the world loves, you know, I'm talking about the world full of people who don't know Jesus, everything they love is counter Jesus. It's against what He loves. So we can't really dabble in both. We've got to make up our mind. If our bridegroom is Jesus, and we're waiting for His return, then we need to be preparing ourselves by keeping ourselves from being all sucked into all the world's ways. Okay? And I'll tell you, the world is really good at deceiving us. Instead of the church looking more like Jesus, unfortunately, His bride keeps looking more like the world. And this just shouldn't be. How would we feel if we've given a proposal to our bride, we're getting ready for the wedding day, and we look at our bride, and she just keeps getting further and further from what we would desire that day to look like and our marriage to look like. She's out partying, whooping it up, not bothering to even give the wedding a second thought, no preparations at all. We would get real discouraged real fast. Praise God, Jesus is patient with us, but we do need to stay on the right course. We've got one more that we want to look at. This will be our last one, so stay with me. So we've accepted the proposal. Our bridegroom has prepared a place for us. We're being continually washed and sanctified by the bridegroom and His word. The bride is desiring for us to be holy and set apart. And then, one more. This is to us as the bride. We need to stay ready for the return of the bridegroom. Man, I'm going to tell you, Jesus said a lot about this. In fact, He said it would be like a thief in the night. It's going to come so quickly at a time when we don't expect. None of us have an idea when it's going to be. And you know, sometimes we all get caught up in the whole eschatology thing, you know, okay, the end times, and I wonder when that's going to be and what are going to be the signs and all that. And He gave us some ideas of what to look for and all that. But guys, I'm just going to tell you, when you draw your last breath, that day came for you. And we ain't promised the next one, so we better act like it's going to happen today. Okay? So let's keep our eyes on Jesus, and let's just look at Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13 to kind of end this whole discussion about being the bride of Christ. This one here, I mean, it's Matthew 25, starting at verse 1. This is a parable that Jesus used, and it doesn't have people's names in it, but what we see is it's an accurate story, an accurate reflection. Okay? And here we have these 10 virgins that are waiting, and some would say, well, none, you know, they couldn't have all been the bride, but in God's economy, you know, His bride, His church are many people, right? So like, we want to look at this from God's perspective, okay? All right? In this world, these 10 virgins probably would have been like the wedding party, all the bridesmaids and stuff getting ready for the wedding. But there was something, there was a requirement that they had to have. They actually had to have a lamp that was burning to be able to join the wedding party. Okay, so we need to understand that. Okay, and He says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They went unprepared. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, been a while since Jesus was here. A couple thousand years. And so some have kind of given up that He's ever going to come back. He's a little delayed in our economy, but I can tell you His timing is perfect. He's never late. He's always perfectly on His time. But to us, it may seem like, oh, it's been so long. Is He really coming back? But while the bridegroom was delayed, verse 5, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should be enough for us and you. There should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them to the wedding, and the door was shut. Y'all remember another time when there was a big door on a big boat, and it shut? How many people were in that ark? There were 8 people in all the world who were on the inside. Everybody else was on the outside of that door that God shut, and no one else was allowed in. Guys, I'm going to tell you, when the time comes, there's not going to be any changing which side of that door we're on. And so Jesus is warning us. So the door was shut in verse 10, and afterward the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." What happens to those who are on the outside of that door? Anybody tell me? Eternally separated from the goodness of God in a place that is eternally on fire. It's called hell. That's not a risk I think any of us should be willing to take. Sin may seem fun for a passing season, but guys, let's not be out there dancing in the tall weeds not knowing when Jesus comes back. We're not saved by our works, so don't hear me wrong. But I will tell you, our works prove out where our heart is. Have you taken enough oil to wait the distance for your bridegroom to come back? That oil represents the Holy Spirit seeking of God. I pray you stay and live ready. Jesus could come back today. If there's any part of your life that you've just like been refusing Him to give it to Him, I pray that today would be a day that you'd just say, "Lord, here it is, I give it to you. I was almost afraid to try to enter into a relationship with Jesus because I could see I was so far from perfect. There were so many problems I had to deal with." You know what Jesus finally just showed me the night that I really surrendered everything to Him? He's like, "Give it to me and I'll help you fix it." And so I'm still in the process of Him helping me fix it. But you know what? We're going together. We're in the yoke. Jesus wants to be in your yoke. Quit trying to pull the load on your own. Can't do it. Let's get in the yoke with Jesus today and let's stay there. Let's wait for our bridegroom who's coming back to get us. It's going to be a glorious day and He's preparing a place like you could never imagine. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just pray that You help us, Lord, to hear Your words today. Hear the word of Jesus as You have spoken so clearly to us, Lord. Help us to, first of all, say yes to the bridegroom's proposal, to realize what You're doing right now. Preparing a place for us that we would be being prepared, that we would have a desire for holiness. I know we're still so far from it, but let us not give up hoping for holiness, desiring, doing the necessary changes in our lives as You show us. And then, most of all, help us to live ready. Ready to go to stand before You at any given moment. Oh Lord, help us today. This altar is open to any who would come to pray. Lord, I just pray that You would move their hearts and help it go from their hearts into their actions, control their direction. Lord, bless me to follow You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all say.
Amen. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yield that I'm still seeking thy will, oh speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. You that I'm still seeking thy will, oh speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. It is no longer mine. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. I will be wholly thine. Speak to my heart, oh speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yield that I'm still seeking thy will, oh speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. That my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Seeking thy will, oh speak to my heart today.
Praise the Lord. You know what the most awesome part of it is? Jesus promises us that if anyone comes to him, he will not turn us away. Isn't that a beautiful promise? It's 100% guarantee. That is awesome. Ain't nothing 100% in this world, but with God, it's 100%. Amen? I think we've got an opportunity for birthdays now. Anybody have a birthday?
Anybody have a birthday? Birth a day. I know everybody has one, but about one pretty close to today. No. Allie. All right.
Four.
Wow. You're getting old, ain't you? All right. Let's sing happy birthday here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Lord bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
You want it?
Do. Born again means salvation. How many have you? Happy birthday, hon.
You want a pencil? Take it with you. Anything you want to say? Nope. She went to dad.
All right. Four, that ain't hardly nothing, is it, Bill? All right. How about anniversaries? Anniversaries. Nope. No anniversaries. All right. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word we've heard here today, Lord. And, Lord, help us all to be ready when the bridegroom cometh, Lord. Help us, Lord, to do your will while we're here, Lord. And help us to not sin, Lord. It's so easily to do, Lord, and with our surroundings about us this day and time, Lord. Lord, I pray that our nation would grow closer to you. I pray for our president, Lord, as he leads our nation. I pray, God, that he'll do it in a godly manner. I pray, Lord, that you would be with the upcoming events at the church, the Vacation Bible School, and the camp that's going to be going on. Lord, I just pray, God, your blessing on it. And, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for all you've done in each one of our lives. Lord, help us to be a witness for you till we meet again. In Jesus' holy name, amen.